This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Renata Dorrestein is one of Holland's most popular and critically acclaimed writers. She often writes stories about the balance of power within families. She says we want families to be safe for our kids, but often our homes are, in her words, a place which is often a concentration camp behind closed doors. Renata's new book is titled A Heart of Stone. It is her international debut in English. It tells the story of Ellen Van Bemmel. The narrative alternates between Ellen as a child and Ellen as a woman coming to grips with a terrible family tragedy that leaves most of her family dead. Her search for understanding and the ability to forgive is ultimately a story of love. Renata Dorrestein joins us this afternoon from Chicago. Later today, she'll be at a reading and book signing at the bookstall in Winnetka. Renata, good afternoon. Welcome.
Hello there.
A place which is often a concentration camp behind closed doors. These are very strong words. Would you explain what you mean?
Yes, well, I have the feeling that children, small children, are so very much at the mercy of their parents. And that in itself is a rather explosive situation because they are totally dependent. They have no choice but to love their parents. And you can often see it happen even in cases when children are really being treated in a bad, bad way and are being abused. They simply have no choice but to love their parents all the more for it. And I find that such a, well, such a cynical situation, and I simply need to draw attention to that all the time.
Mm. Now, Ellen's family is a loving family. At the opening of the story, there are four kids, another on the way, but ultimately something goes wrong. The family home is large and holds her parents' business, Ellen's parents' business, which is a news clipping service. And, you know, from time to time in newspapers as well as on radio and television, we learn that violence has torn through a family. Were you compelled to write this novel because of such a story?
Yes. About 4 years ago, there was a series of horrible events in Holland, and they all concerned parents killing first their children and then killing themselves. And, of course, all these incidents had different backgrounds, but there was one that moved me very, very deeply because in this particular case, there were no evil intentions at all involved. It was a case of a Dutch dentist. He and his wife lost a small son. I think the kid had leukemia or another disease. And after he had died, they simply couldn't veer back. They couldn't pick up the thread again. And they desperately just wanted to be reunited with their dead child, which, of course, could only be done by dying themselves. But then they had two other children, and they had to kill them, too, to take them with them into death, to have the entire family back as a whole again. And I was shocked, like everybody else, but also moved very deeply because, well, as I said, it was not a case of evilness or, you know, really wanting to cause hurt and pain, but just they were acting out of longing and love, and yet causing this terrible tragedy.
Yeah. Doing the research for A Heart of Stone, did you try to discover what happens to people who survive such catastrophes, such tragedies?
Well, one of the main reasons why I wrote the book was because I wanted to find that out. And in the first place, I wanted to understand how a thing like this can happen. The one minute you have a totally normally functioning family, totally happy, nothing is the matter. And then something happens and everything, you know, goes haywire and all hell turns loose. And how are you going to survive a thing like that? I had no idea, and I hoped simply to find out by writing about it.
Mm.
And in doing so, I had the feeling that there is simply no end to human vitality, and there's no end to our need for redemption and our need for understanding and the ableness to forgive. I think that in the end we will all want to come to terms with a tragedy like this, if it were to happen to ourselves.
Ellen Van Brummel is a very smart girl. As a little girl, she's very smart. She's a great reader, and she's well aware of the power of language. Names are very important to her. She insists on calling her brother, who's been christened Michael, Carlos, and she names her baby sister Ida, then Sophie. Her sensitivity to seeing and naming, and through seeing and naming, understanding, is that part of what ultimately pulls her through?
Well, yes, maybe that is indeed part of it. I thought it was just such a lovely image for showing how you cannot escape fate. And Ellen, as a small child, has the feeling that if you have the right name, you will be rescued by fate at a given time. Fate will be able to find you because they can call out your name. So you have to be known by your proper name. But this, of course, is only the urge and the longing for control of a very small child.
And ultimately she has to give up that desire then.
Yes.
to name and to have that power.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Indeed.
The characters in the book are so compelling, the children especially. I don't know anybody who could read this book and not love these kids.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear.
What was it like for you creating and living with these characters?
I had a wonderful time with them. I mean, the story itself is rather sad and grim in many ways, but it is also, I think, a book about love and about laughter. And the family, especially the children, they are so fantastic together. And there's so much warmth and fun between them. I loved them dearly, and I felt very responsible for what I was going to do to them. I knew that I'd had to kill most of them, which was not really pleasant. But anyway, it served a purpose.
Yeah. Well, the relationships that they share are so wonderful.
Thank you.
One other thing that I wanted to ask you about is the Van Bemmel News Bureau clips America newspapers. Why did you make them a repository of news clips from American papers?
Oh, that is partly because the story is set back 25 years in time, and at that time and at that day and age, Holland was very much romanticizing and idolizing the United States. You know, we didn't have Coca-Cola, we drank lemonade. It was all very provincial back home with us. And all these new products that came in from the United States were just so exotic, and you felt so hip and modern, when you had Levi's jeans and stuff like that. So I thought it would simply provide a sort of charming backdrop for the way these children lived their lives.
Mm. Well, good luck with your next book, and thank you very much for talking with us this afternoon.
Okay, you're welcome.
Renata Dorrestein has been our guest in this portion of the afternoon magazine. Her book, A Heart of Stone, is her American debut.